Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to the MIP.
Pittsburgh locks up their man, Juju Smith-Schuster, and we lock him down right here on the Michael Irvin Podcast. The MIP report, championship, perfection no more for Gonzaga, plus Sam Donald traded out of New York. Let's get this started, and you know how we started. Now, first story on the MIP report. I know, and you guys know, I love football. I love football. I love UFC. I love basketball. I played basketball. But my God, that Final Four was insane and incredible. And let's talk through this, because I watched this thing, man, and I knew when that truly one of the greatest games we've ever seen in college basketball. That Gonzaga-UCLA game was incredible. I mean, it's just incredible. I love the stories in the story. And there were so many stories in the story. That game was just, it was incredible. So many back and forth. They had their perfection on the line, Gonzaga did. And UCLA played lights out basketball. I've always said, and I still believe, that there's no such thing as as a good loss. All of them are bad to me. But if ever there was a case to say, man, we lost, but we can still walk away with our head up high, you got to say that's the UCLA situation right there. Those guys played. Nobody gave them a real shot at winning that game, and it took a hell of a shot for them to lose that game. That's what I love watching. I like watching when guys can reach down inside and pull up a surprise. Give you something that you did not expect. And UCLA came together and they played hard. But as hard as they played, that last play, man, was insane. That kid Suggs played so well. First he had made a block, then a perfect throw pass. Then he came back, man, and made that last play. And when I saw it go in, off the bank, I was like, oh, I jumped up. I said, oh, my God. I saw the kid run over to the table. I was just going crazy with everybody else. But right after I settled down, I said, uh-oh, that is not how you want to win a game. You know, because I'm going to tell you something. In football, you do it. I remember going back and looking over the numbers a couple years ago when I first dove into it. It was right after Stephon Diggs. You guys remember Stephon Diggs catching that game-winning touchdown in the playoffs to send the Saints home. And then I was looking at it then. And I said, okay, what happens with games with teams that basically win on a walk-off? Do you know that the record after the game that they won on basically a walk-off is not very good? It suggests that the emotional high of winning like that takes a lot out of you. And it does. And I knew once Suggs hit that shot and it all settled down, the first thing I thought, I promise you, first thing I said was, uh-oh, Baylor going to win this game. Baylor will win the championship. Because in football, that holds true. When you win like that the last second, and you have a week before you have to line up again. In the Final Four, they had 2 days. They did this on Saturday. They had to turn around and play on Monday. And that emotional drain, you could see it at the start of the game. Had they not had that kind of start, Gonzaga could have had a chance. Could have had a chance. But the start of that game, they looked dead. And I'm not taking anything away from Baylor, because Baylor certainly made them look dead. Baylor was faster. Baylor was quicker. They got to the basket, and they made them shots. It was insane to see. It was insane. It really was. It was incredible. It was incredible to watch. I watched every minute of it. You couldn't turn your head away. Even though Baylor had a nice lead, I kept saying, they're going to make a run. And they made that run right before half. Got down within 10. I said, uh-oh, this is it. If they can come out the second half and establish something and get going a little bit, get this thing down to 8-6 points, then Gonzaga has a chance. But Baylor said, no way. We did not come this far for nothing. And we heard all the rumblings that nobody gave us a chance. Don't you love how you could be in a championship game and a team, they always said it, nobody gave us a chance. Like you were the two best teams in the league all year. People knew that would say when they were calling you guys the two best teams in the whole, all in college basketball, they're saying that you got a chance. But it's what we all do. We want to stack the deck against ourselves so that we can line up and bring greater things out of us. That much I love. It was an incredible game. Congrats to Baylor for bringing a championship back to Texas, a basketball championship. I think they haven't had a championship since those Pat Riley days, way, 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 way back and forever ago when they won. But I was happy for them. And happy for that Baylor program. I mean, you guys, I don't know if you know the story of that Baylor program. There's a lot that have gone on in Baylor, you know, and you guys can look it up and read the stories, but there's a lot. And for them to turn it around like that and come out on top and win them a championship, all you can say is congrats to everybody involved. Well done. And to those players, man, wow. Wow. Way to shut everybody up. Way to deny perfection. Way to make your mark and win that championship. Next story on the MIP report. Sam Darnold got traded. And I want to jump into this. The Jets trade Sam Darnold to Carolina. And I was thinking about this, guys. Like, how often do we see a quarterback that had promise get traded and go somewhere else and tear it up? Just tear it up. And I was like, you know, I don't. It doesn't happen often. You in recent history, you can say, what, Ryan Tannehill? Is he tearing it up? I mean, he got a big gun. He got a nice contract after leaving Miami. But not normally do you see it. But I do believe this could be a different situation. First, it's hell playing for the Jets. Let's stop playing. Sam Darnold, his 3 years there, he's never had a 1,000-yard receiver. He's never had a 1,000-yard rusher. Like, are you joking? He's never had anything around him to help him in a great way. And then he went through a couple coaching staffs. You know, of course, Todd Bowles first. And then Adam Gates. Neither one of those guys had great success at the head coaching position. this kid going over to Carolina now. They have some coaches over there. Matt Rhule is a good coach. Joe Brady's good coach. They got some real good talent. McCaffrey, you know, they got some good receivers. I really like what this can be. I'm looking forward to Sam hopefully taking off. This is a young dude. Now imagine this dude, if he gets in the right situation, if this becomes the right situation for him, this thing can take off for him. And I do believe when you start in New York trying to turn around a team and all of how the media come after you in New York, that maybe a fresh start could be best for him. Some of the pressure off. Carolina will receive him and look towards him as hope and carry it that way. New York, that's a different beast. That's a different beast. I do believe it was smart of the Jets. You can't pick this high. You can't pick this high and pass on a quarterback that's up there. Even though there's some that say Sam Darnold is more talented than the guys, I mean, maybe without Trevor Lawrence, maybe you put Trevor Lawrence aside, but he's more talented than the guys that are coming out. And still, this is the right move, even if you believe that. Because I think the fan base, Sam, everybody needed a fresh start in this. So New York got what they needed. They got some added capital. They already have that second pick. They'll go get a quarterback. And Sam got what he needed. He got a chance to get out of New York, where everybody's already believing that he's not, well, a lot of people are believing he's not the answer. You don't have to deal with that every week. And in Carolina, they'll look forward towards him being the answer. New York, they said you were not. Carolina, they're going to say, yes, 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 you are. And that perspective along with those coaches will give him, I guarantee you, a different season. That was a good pickup. Now, I don't mind telling you, I worry about what's going to happen with Teddy Bridgewater here. Because Teddy Bridgewater, man, it's, you know, coming off of what he did, I think, in New Orleans, his value, that's the highest his value will ever be. Now, I don't think anything will happen to probably after the draft. I know Carolina has kind of given him permission to talk to people and everything. But after the dust settled in the draft and teams know that they're still a quarterback and need a quarterback, then maybe they'll turn and start looking at Teddy Bridgewater. Even though, you know, I like Teddy, I really hope things work out for him, you know, and he gets going. Such a promising career early on, and then gone through some injuries, fought back, got a nice deal last year coming out of New Orleans, and now back walking again. I mean, I hope things work out for him. I know I didn't MIP this. I didn't report it. But I just want to say this, man. Let me throw this out. More has come out with the Deshaun Watson stuff. Now there's a lady that have come out. And of course, you know, she went public with it. The police is now investigating. And Nike has suspended, while Beats by Dre has ended their relationship with Deshaun Watson. All I can say is I'm praying for everybody in this situation. But when someone comes out, it was one thing when we have anonymous, but this last round, now that someone has come forward, it puts a different perception on it. You know, I felt so badly watching this young lady in the press conference. I felt badly. and I feel badly about the whole situation. I'm hoping and praying that somehow, whatever it is, the truth comes to light. And when none of us know the truth except the people that were there and whatever. None of us know the truth except the people that were there. But I hope somehow, some way, we get to the truth. Speaking of truth, I love this dude, man. I've always said he was the truth. This is the one dude I went to Jerry Jones and said, please, we need to sign him. Because when I was working with him coming out of USC, I saw a number two receiver that they could easily transition into the number one receiver. Juju Smith-Schuster will join the MIP next. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Joining the MIP is a wide receiver. This man has hit all the great stops. I always talk about how fortunate I was to play at St. Thomas. That's a big high school. At the University of Miami, we were the team of the 80s. And then the Dallas Cowboys, such a great franchise. This man played at that famous high school out there in L.A., Poly, went to USC, and now plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a second-round draft choice in 2017. This man is a Pro Bowl wide receiver. These are the records that I was reading just the other days. He's the fewest games to 1,000 yards, youngest receiver to 1,500 yards, youngest receiver to 2,500 yards, the only one to record, the youngest to record 150-yard game, longest TD reception, which is 97 yards, youngest player with two TDs of at least 97 yards, youngest to reach 1,000 yards receiving, first player in NFL history to score five TDs in a season before his 21st birthday. I'm talking about Pittsburgh Steelers star wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster joins the MIP, the Mike Orvin Podcast. Juju, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. This is awesome, man. This is cool, man.
Well, Juju, you know, you and I, we have history together, you know, from the day you came out of USC and came on and visited us at Game Breakers.
Yeah.
And I remember working out with you, just a young kid, man, but I remember leaving that workout, running to Jerry saying, we got to get that dude right there. We got to get that dude right there. That dude has something different about him, man. And when I read off all of these records that you've had and reached at such a young age, man, what goes through your mind when you summarize your NFL career so far?
Not done yet, to be honest. Obviously, you know, all those are great records. All those are you know, good on film, good on paper. I'm still young, you know, I'm only 24 years old and, you know, I still want to play for another 5 to 10 more years. So got to keep pushing.
Juju, you just hit free agency and you signed back with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's talk about that process. How did that play out that you made it back with Pittsburgh?
I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but for me, it was probably one of the most craziest things. You know, I think it's more, free agency is more difficult knowing you'll get drafted, knowing a team's able to pick you up. But this is a lot different. You know, you get to pick where you can go in certain situations. Obviously, with COVID and, you know, with the market and everything this year, it's a lot different. And staying home in Pittsburgh, you know, if I'm going to have to take a one-year deal and bet on myself, I think staying with Pittsburgh is the best option for me.
I thought it was brilliant, actually. And I know you had opportunities, right? Other teams were trying to sign you. I know Baltimore tried to sign you. I read where Kansas City tried to sign you. Through that process, when you Baltimore team like playing with Lamar Jackson, Kansas City playing like playing with Patrick Mahomes, what made you come back to Pittsburgh? I know you say you thought it was safe and in the right place to be, and I think it was the right call. I thought it was the right call. If I'm going to do 1 year, I got to go where I know and where people know me. And yep. If I'm going to take 1 year to bet on myself. So that whole process, man, what made you come back to Pittsburgh?
Just like you said, man, being somewhere in an atmosphere and environment, knowing where the team knows you, they know your history, they know, how you are, how they use you and stuff like that. So, coming back and knowing that I would have Ben back for one more year and, playing, my last year, it was just like, I'm going to take my chance. I'm going to play with Ben. Baltimore, KC, they're all great teams. No doubt, these teams are, playoffs contenders every year for the next 5 to 10 years. And I respect that about them. T. Martin was a coach at USC who coached me. He ended up going to the Ravens and, he reached out. And, that's how that process started. Lamar reached out, the head coach called, Marlon Humphrey's hitting me up. It starts getting serious when the players start texting you, hitting you up like, yo, what's up, bro? What are we doing? Like, come win. And, all respect to them. And it was cool. But I think with me, it's more so staying home, staying loyal. And in my situation, I fit best. We have, new OC, Ben's coming back. My relationship with my receiver coach, Ike Hiller, is amazing. So, you can't beat that.
Yeah, Ike's a great dude, man. Tell him I said what's up. But yeah, yeah. You talk about players calling you, trying to basically recruit you to come over. Your Ben was coming back. That's why you returned. Did Ben call you during that process to tell you he was coming back? And how did that conversation go if he did?
Yeah, yeah. So he called me multiple times. We changed his texts. Pretty much just saying like, hey, man, whatever you do before you sign, call me, let me know. And I've always told him like, before I sign anywhere or do anything, I always let him know. And multiple times, I talked to him, was like, hey, man, like, this is what I'm thinking. This is the best option for me. And, we talked about it. We weighed the pros and cons of both sides. And, obviously being home with the Steelers is the best. And it's ideal just for me, I think what really people didn't get to see a lot is that, later in my career, because I dealt with injuries, I played mainly slot, and coming back and playing outside more this year and showing people that I could be a number one, and having Ben back healthy, me being back healthy, and just having the team that we have.
You said to show people that you can be a number one. Do you feel that you have proven to people that you can be a number one receiver? And when you hear people talk about that, what are your thoughts?
I mean, for me, man, I wear it on my wrist every day. This is my coach. It pretty much just says, shut out the noise. Yeah. And that's just how I feel. But, if I have to go out there and prove people wrong, it just puts more fuel to my fire to go out there and, just go out there and dominate and be that guy.
Juju, I don't mind saying, I'm shocked when people say the things that I said. What are you guys talking about? What are you guys? This dude is playing ball. Like these records are real. That you had this and you do in the span of your first contract, your first few years, and you're young. You're still growing and learning the game. Personally, I think people, I don't know what it is, and even think about the process. You come in. You got Ben, you got AB, you got, Le'Veon Bell. And then when all that falls off with AB and it's time for you to take over, Ben's not there to become that number one. Do you ever feel like you've had that full stride? Then last season, here we come with COVID and the offseason and everything. It always seemed like it was something when going into the year that you're supposed to establish, hey, I'm the number one dominating receiver. How do you think? What do you say about that?
It was tough, man. Like not having Ben. The year where we didn't have AB, we didn't have Le'Veon, we didn't have those guys on our team who were, primary guys. And that was a year. I was in my junior year. My third year, showing like, hey, this is what I can do. This is me. I don't need the other person. You know, I'm always working regardless of what's going on, and my numbers still show. You know, even with Mason Rudolph, you know, I didn't have the best numbers, but you know, I was still out there working, do what I can do, and working with a QB who doesn't have the most experience. And going into my fourth year, having so many weapons that we used, it was great. You know, like I can't complain about being 11-0 when my stats are not up to par, but you know, we're 11-0. You know, we're a winning team. You know, we're on the goal is to win a world championship. And like I said, coming back this year, knowing that I have Ben back, knowing that I have, my relationship with my coaches are unbelievable. You know, we're all on the same page. And like I said, now we're back healthy. So this is going to be the year where, you know, where I show people, you know, this is what it's about.
You mentioned it, starting the season 11-0. I mean, first tell me, what was that like starting the season 11-0? I know everybody asked, well, you guys can go undefeated. What was that like?
Oh man, it was crazy, man. Honestly, you know, a big shout out to our defense, you know, special teams. But at the same time, like, you know, shout out to our offense. You know, we're all being on the same page and all, you know, all in it for the same reason, same page. We never had arguments or fights between teammates about who were getting this many catches, this many yards. You know, we all came in there knowing that we were going to work and, you know, compete for a world championship. So hopefully this year we can run it back.
Run it back. Run it back. You go 11-0. Now tell me how that season ended. Why did it end the way it ended?
Man, I think honestly, we had some key players on defense that we lost. Devin Bush was a huge, huge asset. Bud Dupree was a huge asset. Some players going down left and right. Being it on offense, you know, it was, you know, we started off fast, and I think it just got to the point where it caught up to us, you know. And we didn't do enough, and we fell short. And I think after we lost against Washington, we just kind of had like a downhill thing, and then we picked it back up, and then we fell short against the Buffalo and the Bills. And then coming to the playoffs, knowing that we were going to play against the Browns again, knowing that, you know, we had that chance, and they came out, you know, ready, more hungry. And within the first 8 minutes of the game, they already had 21 points on the board. So, and that's, you know, that's something that we all learned, you know, like, you know, we got to keep our head on straight, got to stay focused, and got to just keep grinding.
And speaking, keeping your head on straight and keeping grinding and everything. You know, when you guys were 11-0, everything was great. Everything goes great. And you start losing games, then everybody starts finding and looking for reasons why we lost. Oh, we lost. It took some heavy, heavy criticism, artillery, hits, yeah, however you want to call it, about nothing, about dancing, yep, before a game. So I'm on TV. I ain't lying. Juju, they come on, they say, well, Juju, I had to stop them. I said, y'all stop. We stop right now. Y'all not going to make this a bad dude because he's dancing. We trying to find a reason. So we're going to make this all about him dancing. It's insane. People go crazy when you lose a game and they're trying to find everything, man. What was that like for you?
Man, It's crazy, bro. A lot of people ask me, hey, how do you do marketing? Like, I got NFL players like hit me up, like, yo, how you doing your marketing and doing this? And I was like, I started TikTok. You know, TikTok's always been a huge thing. And
right.
I make a lot of money off of marketing. And like, I'll probably say that I make over $2 million off of marketing because of who I am, and that's off the field stuff. But at the same time, like, they weren't saying anything when I was dancing on the Cowboys logo. And then I ball out and score a touchdown and all that. Everyone's happy. Everyone's cool. But as soon as we lose and I dance on the logo, everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, that's the reason why he's losing. Like, he's not focused. He's not. If I'm not focused, just like, go back and look at the stats. Go back and look at my catch radius. Like, I'm doing everything I can for my team. You know, if the coaches put me in a certain situation to make a play, I'm going to make a play. And that's just how I am. But as like you said, media, they trying to find the headliner. They're trying to find, that's how they make their money. And I don't blame them. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, I told Coach Tom, like, I don't want to be a distraction for my team if that's just how it is. They're mad. But at the end of the day, man, like, all that right there, like, I got myself to be on an NFL Super Bowl commercial and, you know, making much money as I can, you know, being in the playoffs or not being in the playoffs. But it's just more so how people look at it. But like I said, you know, the media is going to portray how they want to portray it. But at the end of the day, my teammates know how I am, my coaches, and, you know, I'm just doing what's right for the team.
Yeah, Juju. Which way did it go? Did you have guys on your team saying, "Man, don't listen to this. That has nothing to do with anything."
Yeah, they're all like that.
The guy saying, "Man, maybe you should be dancing." So, how were your teammates? How did they approach?
They're all supportive. You know, Vinny, Cam Harrodell, like, "Man, I keep dancing, man. That's you, bro. Like, don't change for nobody. Like, that's just how you are." You know, I understand if I was dancing and dropping balls, dropping touchdowns, not catching, not doing my assignment, that's a whole different story, you know? But, you know, I'm dancing, having fun, doing my job, making my blocks, you know, catching balls, scoring touchdowns, and just living my best life. But it's a team thing. So, you know, I just got, you know, I don't want to be the head of attention in a bad way. So I try to do what's right.
Man, keep doing you, man. Jimmy Johnson would always say to us, man, you do what you do, what you need to do to get ready to play. Everybody's different. You know, some people got to get to the game early. Some people like to come late. You know, everybody's different. I have to have all clothes matching. My underwear has to match my suit when I walk in. So and then the whole thing, Juju, they all wait. Watch me get undressed. Then the underwear matches. And then we all think, oh, we're about to win this game. You know, it's little things like that that guys do. And I'm sitting here like, this is crazy, man. This is crazy that we get caught up in things like that. Juju, you talked about it. You're great at marketing, man. You're great at marketing. You're such a likable person. Everybody likes you, man. Where does Juju come from? Because when I go through this, I was like, it's John Smith. It's John Smith.
Yeah.
With all due respect, Juju, there is no more common name than John Smith.
You see it on the test.
So how did we get to Juju from John Smith? How did we get to Juju?
Yeah, so growing up, I had an auntie. She called me Choo-Choo, like the Choo-Choo train, because I used to play with like Choo-Choo like trains all the time. And then it kind of led over to Juju. And then I was about like 5 years old, and then people just call me Juju. My teachers, my professors, some people, my fans don't even know my real name, you know? So it's funny that people say, oh, it's Juju, Juju, Juju. And be like, no, what's your real name? They're like, oh, it's John. They're like, no way. But not in the test, like in the SAT and the ACT, they use like John Smith, like for like the example.
Right. You see what I'm saying? Oh my God, man. And that's funny that a lot of people don't know that. That is funny. You run up on you. Hey, man, what's your, that's just, I just enjoy that. That was funny, man. Dude, when you talk about it, man, I tell you, the other day here in Dallas, we had an autograph show. I met Claiborne, Chase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, he want to meet me. It's a big month. That's a big dude.
He's a big dude. He's tall.
It's a big dude, man. Like, he's talking about, but I'm going to get 240. And I still run a 440. Like, 240? Dude, you know what you're saying? What do you mean 240? I mean, that's a big dude, man. What has it been like watching him and how, you know, you were there. You had AB when you got in, a veteran guy to kind of help you and show you some ropes and everything. How has that relationship with Chase and those young guys gone?
It's been great, man. He's such a cool kid, man. A guy, you know, we have rivalry there because, you know, he obviously from Canada and he went to Notre Dame. You know, I played at USC. The rivalry's there. He came to, and then when he got drafted, you know, I was like, hit him up, like, yo, bro, like, you know, super excited to have you on the team. Great personality. Pretty much is like a little version of me, because he's doing the whole marketing thing, he's doing the whole YouTube, he's doing the whole pretty much everything that he can, you know. And he's just a great dude. I mean, on the field, he works out, he goes hard every day. Like you say, he's a big dude, so he's always putting in that work, and he has a bright future ahead of him. You know, I think his rookie year, 10 touchdowns plus, I mean, going crazy, and you know, still has more to grow and shine. The dude literally lives right above me. And so he comes down to eat dinner at night and sometimes, and like, yo, he comes hang out. So he's a good kid.
And it's interesting because I know you're still young yourself. And you know, and I know you're calling him out of love and affection when you call that. But it made me think about like when you came in, man, and having AB there. And now him coming in and having you there. How much do you cherish that relationship and those opportunities?
Man, a lot. You know, I think the chemistry, you know, not between QB, but between receivers is something special. You know, you know, people call us divas, right? So, you know, we all have our moments. And when you have that relationship with your receiver or your teammate, you know, you can calm him down. You know, you can talk to him because, you know, he'll listen to you. Not because you're a vet, because, you know, you've been there before. You know, you're in the same position just off the experience of being there. And, you know, that's something that we have close. And that's between all our guys. You know, we have a bunch of young guys as receivers that, you know, we just have that connection where, you know, something goes wrong, we pick each other up.
You talked about that relationship with receivers and in the receiver room. And of course, I still talk to all my guys that I play with, because like you talked about, that relationship is special. When a couple of years ago, when Antonio Brown left, you know, there were things going on back and forth on social media with Antonio Brown and things that were targeted and directed towards you. Have you had any conversations with Antonio lately, and where is your relationship with him?
Honestly, bro, if I could reach out, I would, but I can't. You know, he's blocked me on all social media, between like Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, like my phone number, and you know, we just live our life. You know, I mean, I wish nothing for the best for him. You know, honestly, like for him to go out there and win a Super Bowl, like, you know, congrats to him, and you know, he keep doing. I honestly think he's probably one of the best receivers to ever do it. And you know, if we didn't have the fall off, I think our team would be, you know, ridiculous, amazing. You know, with him, Le'Veon, all those guys, you know, who are here. So, but no, there's no relationship. I haven't talked to him since then, and that's just how it is.
I'm gonna be straight, man. It hurt me when I heard all that went down. You know what I mean? When I saw him coming after you like that, man, I was like, come on, man. You know, okay. You know, we all going to have some issues with management, and that's just what it is. Everybody. Coach, I would say, hey, listen, everybody's going to be negotiating with management. Everybody, even the coaches. Yep. And they don't want to give up any money. So I can always take that. But player to player, man, you know, receiver to receiver, brother to brother.
Yep.
I was like, man, that's fouling out of line. You know what I mean? And it was just fouling out of line. And I really did not like it. I really did not like it. And even hearing you now say that you guys, that is still not where it used to be. You know what I mean? It's still no communication. I mean, that's hard. It's hard to hear.
Yeah,
it's hard to hear. Have you tried to reach out to him through somebody else to just try to squash it to move forward and everything?
I mean, I've talked to my pupils about it, and I just think that he's just on a whole nother level. You know, I think he's just doing him. I think the best thing that, you know, for him is him going. I think Tom Brady, you know, what he's doing, I think that's great. You know, but as far as like, you know, reaching out, I had my people talk to him, but still nothing. So at the end of the day, you know, like I said, you know, I wish nothing for him and his family to be the best, and that's it.
Juju, if it wasn't Pittsburgh that you signed back with, yeah, just take Pittsburgh off the list right now, who would have been your next choice? Who was the closest to getting Juju Smith-Schuster?
The team's on the list.
Next choice, yeah. Team on the list.
Would have been KC.
You played in Kansas City. You just couldn't bring yourself to sign with Baltimore. Is that it, because of the division rival?
Yeah, that too. And just looking at, you know, I'm curious to see how they're going to be this year. You know, having Sammy Watkins, and you know how they're going to use him and throwing the ball and stuff like that. Lamar's a really a heavy run offense. You know, with the backs that he has, and that's just, you know, just point being facts. You know. His number one target was Andrews, is a tight end. And I think, you know, it just seeing KC and, like, bro, Andy Reid was just calling me, and then he was sending me the Brody trophy pictures, like, constantly. So I was like, and we had a good talk. So it would have been KC after the Steelers.
Hey, Coach Reid was sending you Lombardi trophies.
Yeah, like pictures of the Lombardi. Like, texted to me, like, while I was trying to make a decision. And, you know, I have so much respect for, you know, him and his team. So, yeah.
And he's one of the best, too, man. That's another that's another place would have been good for you. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's just so good at designing plays.
For his players, yeah.
Yeah. Right. You said it. Designing plays for his players, for your skill set, your talent. And people, that's a gift and a talent. When you know how to put people in position to win according to their talent and skill set, that's a great gift. And he's certainly one of the best at it. How do you see 2021 since signed back with Pittsburgh? Talk to me about where this team going from here. Let's start breaking on 2021. Let's start with this draft coming up. I mean, I know you probably paying some attention to what's going on and everything. Where do you think Pittsburgh, what direction you think they will go in this draft?
Man, Pittsburgh is known to draft a defensive player in the first round always. I think the last one we had was Dave Cashel on offense. Hopefully, you know, we get someone on offense to help us out. Najee Harris, man, one of the best, you know, running backs out there that, you know, that can fit for our caliber, our team. And, you know, if we had him, it would be cool. And also, I think O-lineman too. I think, you know, with some guys that we don't have back, you know, coming back with Ben. Mark Pouncey, you know, one of the dudes to, you know, Ben's guy since day one. You know, having the center would be a great fit for us. But I'm biased. I'm biased. I'm an offensive player, so I'm biased. I'm going to say all these offensive guys that we need to help us out. But as far as the team, I think we're solid, man. I think we're going to be good. I think our new OC, our new play calling is going to be amazing. I think, you know, having, you know, the guys that we have back, and me just coming back, some more vet guys on offense would be cool too. So I'm super excited.
You talking about it like, okay, when we talk about 11-0 start last year, do you think that 11-0 start is because sometimes it's great, but you try to win every game. You try to win every game. But I always say, when we win and you winning that much, nobody's, you know, Monday morning meetings are really just fun because everybody laughing and joking. Now, when you lose, now we're trying to find out what the hell happened. Ain't nobody just saying a word.
Yep. Nobody. It's quiet. And then, like, sometimes if you do win consistently, coach give you that Monday off.
Right.
See you Tuesday. But if you lose, boy, rides of the game, that locker room is quiet. Ain't that plane ride home all the way from the East Coast to West Coast? Quiet. And ain't nobody talking. We're going to find what happened the next morning. So it's definitely is different, man. Like, it's people don't see what goes on behind the scenes and what it takes. You know, all people see is, you know, under the lights.
And it's a whole different thing, man. But even if you, you know, if you go through that earlier in the year, because when you at week 12 and you go through, now you start losing and you go through it, it's hard to pull up out of that. You know what I mean? If you have a little setback in week 4, you start working on it right away. You know what I mean? It was hard to pull out of it. And I thought to myself, like, man, it's great that everybody wants to try to be undefeated. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's almost like we get lost in that, you know what I mean, and get caught up. You guys were throwing the ball all over the field last year. Do you and that's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh always been known to have a great running game. You talked about Najee Harris, the running back. Do you think you guys will be doing having that approach this year on offense, throwing the ball as much as you did?
Most definitely. And I would just say that just because our, you know, our OC, I mean, he's known for, you know, constantly just doing stuff like that. And, you know, and like I said, you know, man, I don't mind throwing the ball, but that's like, you know, us Ben likes throwing the ball because of the caliber of receivers that we have. You know, we can go 5 wides and spread out the defense. And I'll tell you another thing that's hard too. Like, yeah, when you're undefeated, everybody wants to beat you.
Everybody.
And it's not even just being undefeated, but everybody wants to beat the Steelers. Everybody wants to beat, you know, the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody wants to beat Kansas City. Like, everybody wants to beat Green Bay Packers, like top teams, like caliber teams. So that's just an add-on to it. So every time we step into the stadium, you know that they're going to be in their best game. And that's what Washington did to us. And then after that, you know, it's hard to get out of that, just like you said. It's not easy. So, but most definitely, I think we gotta continue the run game, you know, more so than throwing the ball. We gotta be 50-50. You gotta be able to spread them out and, you know, move people around.
What's it like going against that defense you guys have every day in practice, Juju?
Oh, it's tough, man. It's day in, day out. We go at it hard. So, and then when it comes game day, it's a lot easier. But as you know, they're all vet guys. Everybody's older. It's just how it is.
You're playing for Mike Tomlin. Talk to me about Mike Tomlin, man. I have a real admiration and respect for him. And what kind of coach is he?
Oh man, he's a real players coach. He swore to players, obviously, but he tell it how it is. One meeting, he said, "Yo, you gonna lose your job if you don't get right in front of all of us." And like, he not throwing no shades. He just tell how it is as a grown man.
He said that to somebody.
Yeah, he said it to our punter, and then next our punter was gone the next week, but then he came back like the following week. And I was just like, damn, like people just go left to right. He don't play around. Like, that's just how he is. It's a grown man business. And that's how I know he was real. And then one time, another story, training camp, AB always late, training camp. So everybody was like, AB, you know what I'm saying? So one day I was late behind AB. He walked up to me and he was like, "I'm gonna find you so hard, I'm gonna make sure your kids don't go to college."
Wait. So wait, he didn't find AB?
Nah, he find me. He's about to find me. Hey, since then, I be out there 10 minutes early on the driving machine trying to get right. Like, I'll never be late again.
I came late with a dude. We went out on a Thursday night. The Thursday night was our go out night, man. Me and this receiver, I'm not even mention his name, man. It was my boy too, man. And he played a lot, man. He was great returner. We hung out all night, Thursday night, man. We were late coming in there Friday. Jimmy was so hot, man. He was like, "Michael, I'm so disappointed in you. You're one of my stars. You get in that meeting and sit down." And he looked at the dude and said, "You get your shit and you get out of here." You fucking cut him on the spot. I'm like, "Oh my God." I was like, "Oh."
Damn.
All the guys, "Mike, man, y'all," in the meeting, they're telling everybody, "Y'all better stop hanging with Michael. Michael, go, you see what he's going to sit right there. Jimmy's going to cut y'all. Y'all better stop." Hey,
damn.
It was always funny, man. Just playing like that. It's like you say, the coaches, they want to send their message to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, all right, now, right. I'm not putting up with this from here, here, and here. We're going to have to do what we got to do to get this thing done. Juju, going through everything, man, one of the things that I really enjoy, man, because I speak a lot about fatherhood and the fatherlessness issue in this country. I talk about a lot. People on my podcast have heard me talk about it. Share with me, could you change your name, Smith-Schuster, at USC?
Yeah.
And take on your father's name. Just share with me that whole story.
Yeah, man. So I pretty much, my father left me when I was 4 years old. My African American father, and he pretty much, was in and out of jail doing his thing. And my stepdad came into my life, and he's Samoan. So as you can see, like he was Schuster. I didn't get to change my last name until I was 18, and that's when I can legally change it. And I was gonna get rid of Smith, but I kept Smith to honor my biological dad's sister because she was my mom's best friend. And I was like, I'll honor her because she didn't take care of us too since we were kids. So to this day, I put Smith Schuster, to honor my auntie and to honor my father, and it's always been like that. So it's pretty unique. People always ask me if I'm adopted because you see both my parents, they're both, they're not, no one's black. So they're like, "Yo, what's going on?" I was like, "Nah, it's my biological mom because they know I'm half Samoan." And I'll explain to them. And that's when then I was like, "Oh, so then the Smith Schuster makes sense now." So, yeah, that's what it is.
Hey, man, I honor him, man. I honor him because it's something to stand in the gap like that and make up the edge when a father is not there. Juju, have you ever mended the relationship with your biological father?
Yeah. I forgive him for all he's done and all that, and that's something for me that I always say, like, I will never hold that against you. But yeah, we have a good relationship. So yeah.
And that's good, man. That's good. Cause I think that matters. I thought, like, boy, you if you're not in his life and then you see this dude doing all he's doing, man, you gotta, it's like, how could you not be like, listen, son, yeah. You know, I should have been there. I haven't been there. And you gotta get around, get in his life and everything. So I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I'm glad that y'all have a relationship. But your stepfather, you bought him a car.
Yep.
Bought him a car, man. You talked about the sacrifices he made, man. Share that with people.
Yeah, man. So as a kid, you know, we only had one car. We had like an Expedition, and, you know, they always make sure that we go into school first. My dad would get dropped off at the bus stop, take the bus to the train, take the train, and then walk to work from the bus, from the train, and pretty much did that for a while. And I noticed, I know what he was doing. And there'd be some days that were, you know, I'll take the bus and you can just take the car. And, but he did it more so for him because he knew he had to take care of his family. So that pretty much taught me, like, you know, just being a man and being like a father, you know, like, I mean, I'm not a father now, but like one thing he told me, like when I was in college too, he was like, every time you get your check, your stipend, make sure you get something back to your mom. All right, don't get nothing to me. I don't want nothing. You know, take care of your mom. That's all I care about. I'll take care of the rest of the stuff. And, you know, that's something I do, you know, even to this day. You know, I give my mom a certain amount of money a month. And that's just, you know, out of the kindness of my heart. And that's always stuck with me, you know, as a father. So I always take care of your mom. You take care of your mom. Everything else will fall into place. And I did that. So when it came time, I was like, your Father's Day, I was like, I'm going to buy your car. So I bought him the truck that he always wanted. And, you know, pretty much pay for it. And, you know, he loves it to this day. Honestly, he don't drive nothing else.
I bet that's his baby, man. I wish I could have done that for my father. I lost my father my junior year in high school, man. And that's the one thing. I wish he could have been here. You know, I got 16 brothers and sisters. Watch him make that sacrifice. I wish he could have seen this. And I know he sees it from heaven. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I really wish he could have been here. Juju, you say you take this 1 year, you bet on yourself, buddy. And then, because the market was not there for wide receivers this year. You know what? So you take this 1 year, you go back to Pittsburgh to bet on yourself to hit free agency again next year. Let's talk about where are you, where you see yourself among the top receivers in the NFL. Where would you rank you amongst those top receivers?
Man, depending who's out there, who hits the market, it's gonna be a hot market. So, I mean, even just this year alone, you know, I feel like I was probably, you know, the best receiver on the board, as far as like, you know, number wise, stat wise, and all that, you know, being able to put that out there. But at the end of the day, you know, it's what the team wants. The team, you know, what fits them best. And I think next year I'll hit it, you know, even harder. As far as like ranking myself, probably like top 25, top 30.
Right. Yeah. And in the league, but okay. But trying to get to and prove to everybody. And I don't know. Do you think you need to prove it to yourself that you are a number one receiver?
I don't think I need to prove it to myself. I know I'm number receiver. I just never had to get the opportunity. And I think this year's gonna be the 1 year that I show people, hey, you know, he's not just playing slot. You know, he's playing outside too, and he's playing with, you know, an elite quarterback, and, you know, and that's that. So, and that's what they'll see this year.
Are you more comfortable in the slot than you are outside?
I'm more comfortable playing inside outside. It doesn't really matter. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, I feel like the slot, you can do more. You have, you know, more options, more varieties to do. Outside, you know, deep balls. That's where I like. You know, I think going downfield, man, 80-yard, 97-yard touchdown, that's where it's at.
7 yards, dog. And not just one. We got two 97-yard. Yeah. That's the whole football field, man. Yeah. That's the whole football field. That's an incredible, incredible accomplishment to have two touchdowns. Of over 90, at least 97 yards, man. Juju, I appreciate you taking the time, man. I know I only had a few minutes with you, and I'm already running long, man, because I could talk to you all day, any day, and every day, man. I appreciate you taking the time, man. Keep doing what you're doing, and good luck in 2021.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Keep it up, man.
Brother. Yes, sir.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. Today. That's Geico.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.